Hello, church. Good to be back with you again for our study, our Wednesday night study. And we are in the book of Psalms. We've been studying through the book of Psalms for quite some time now. We're in the 119th chapter. So if you'd like, take your copy of God's Word and turn over to Psalm 119. We'll be beginning in verse 89 in just a few minutes. Our thoughts this afternoon, I want to center around thinking about that which is forever, that which is forever. I can remember as a young man, I would use the term forever. And I would use it as a young man without thinking about what it meant. Typically, for young people, for me anyway, forever meant anything beyond the foreseeable future. And as a young person, life seems to have so far out in the future that you don't think of it ending. But now as an older person, time has gone by, and I use the word forever a little more cautiously. I use it a little more purposefully, because I've come to realize, as maybe you have in life, that there's going to come a point when I do things in life for the last time, as far as life is concerned. There's going to come a time when I cut the grass for the last time. There's going to come a time when I drive in or out of my neighborhood for the last time. There's going to come a time when I spend the last night that I'm going to spend on earth in my house, in my home. There's going to come a time when, you know, I eat at my favorite restaurant for the last time. All those things are going to come to pass. In other words, there's going to be a last time in this life for everything before we leave here. And so the word forever doesn't apply. Listen, the word forever doesn't apply to anything in this life. That's the point. The word forever is not connected to anything in this life, because everything in this life is temporal. Everything in this life is finite. It has an expiration date on it. These bodies are temporal. We're going to get a new one as a child of Christ. So when we talk about forever, which is what David begins to deal with a little bit here, we really are talking about God things. Forever is in the realm of God. Forever is in the realm of God, the Creator. Forever is in the realm of God because He is forever. He's eternal. He never had a beginning. He'll never have an end. So when we use the word forever, or we might even use the word eternal, but forever is the word we think of most often. When we use the word forever, we are talking about God. We're talking about the things of God. And so in the 119th Psalm, David begins to talk about forever. Look at verse 89 with me, as he does in this passage. He said, "Forever, O Lord, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven, forever." Now, he begins to point out that the nature of God's word mirrors the nature of God. God is the only one who is forever. God is the only one who doesn't change, who is constant. God's the only one who was here before time began. God is forever. He never had a beginning, as I said, and he'll never have an end. And so what David does here is he says, God, your word, the Bible, the law, the Old Testament law, the books of wisdom, the revelations, the prophecies, basically, David said, God, all of those things are forever. They are settled. They're fixed because it's your word, because it mirrors who you are. The Bible reveals to us God's eternal plan. The Bible reveals to us the person of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the one who came, the one who was born of the Virgin Mary, a babe, took on a human body, the one who lived a sinless life, the one who died on the cross, the one who rose again the third day, that one who is forever, the Bible reveals him. So the word of God is settled in heaven forever. It's unchanging because God's nature is unchanging. James tells us, the half-brother of Jesus Christ said this. In James 1:17, he said, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down," listen, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation or shadow of turning. So when David said, God, your word settled forever, he said, God, it's settled forever because you're forever, because you are unchanging. You are constant. And so two quick applications we can make concerning that. Number one, since everything in life is not forever, since everything in life is finite, since everything in life is not fixed, it's temporary, to be able to live as we should, as would please God, we need to focus on the unchanging. We need to focus on that which is not flexible, which is God's word. That's why God's word is the standard for life. It is that thing which is fixed. It is the rule. It's the standard of life. And it is through God's word that our worldview should be measured. In other words, like wearing a pair of glasses, we need to look at the world through God's word because it is fixed forever. And then speaking of forever, speaking of things that are forever, we know that that death comes to all of us, physical death. Should Jesus tarry his coming and the rapture of the church, we're all going to die physically. Now, death is in the world. We're reminded of the finite nature of life because of death. Some people die as babies. They never reach an age of even understanding. They die. Many babies in our country, God forgive us, are slaughtered in the womb through a way of abortion. And they never even see the light of day, if you will. They're just killed before they're even born. Some children die. Children die and they never reach adulthood. Young people die. Death is no respecter of age or persons. Some people are dying middle age. Some people are allowed by God and blessed by God to live a long and full life on this earth. I think of Methuselah in the Old Testament, 969 years, the Bible says he lived here. He is the man who, according to the Bible, or recorded in the Bible, who had the longest lifespan, 969 years, just some 31 years short of 1,000 years living on this planet. That's in the antediluvian civilization before the flood. But the point is, even after 969 years, guess what happened to Methuselah? You guessed it, he died. So this life is not forever. This existence is not forever. Young people fall in love, young boy, young girl, young lady, young man, and they look at each other and go, I'm going to love you forever. Wonderful. But forever is not in this life. Forever is connected to God. And because that's true, think about this. The only place we can find forever existence with life is in Jesus Christ, with God. It is God who brings eternal life. It's God who gives us everlasting life. In fact, the writer to the Hebrews said this. Listen to Hebrews 9, verses 26 and 27. He said, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, after that death, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. So think about three things very quickly about forever. Number one, all mankind is appointed to die. It is the consequence of sin. God did not create us to die, but when Adam sinned, God told Adam, in the day that you sin, you will surely die. Because Adam sinned, he passed down that sin nature to all of us, and we all are sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, which means we all die. After death, after this life ends, the writer to Hebrews said, God said that there's a day of accountability, of judgment, if you will. Without getting a lot of detail, there are two judgments that a person might stand before. For a saved man or woman, there is the judgment seat of Christ. For those who have been saved by faith in Jesus Christ, for those whom the grace of God has touched their life and they've been born again by faith in Jesus, Jesus forgave our sin if we're saved. And by faith in him, he pardons our sin, removes it from our account, and gives us his righteousness. And he grants us eternal life forever. For the saved man or woman, we have to stand in front of Jesus one day and give an account of our Christian life. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. So that's one possible judgment. At that judgment, no one is judged for their sin. We're just judged for stewardship, for how did we manage the spiritual gifts that we have? How did we manage the days that God gave us on this earth? Did we waste them or did we use them to honor him and to do what he asked us to do? The other judgment that a man or woman might appear before is the great white throne judgment. That's the judgment of all who are lost, those who have died in their sin. Those who appear at the great white throne judgment, none of those people are saved. None will be saved. That judgment is to give account for sin, meaning every lost man and woman who dies without Jesus Christ has a stand in front of Jesus one day and answer for all the sins of their life. Listen. If you've never been saved, you need to come to Jesus today, because no one survives the great white throne judgment. Everybody who goes to the great white throne judgment ends up in the eternal lake of fire, which is a spiritual death, separation from Jesus and from God forever. So, forever is connected to things beyond this life. And forever should be very important to you. It should be something that you think about, because this life will end. How is your forever going to go? Is it going to be in the presence of God, being saved and being a child of God and living with him forever? Or is your eternal forever existence going to be in a place of punishment, the eternal lake of fire? So David said God's word is settled forever because it's connected to God's character. Then he said this. He said, every generation understands God's unchangeableness. Every generation can see that the word of God is settled in heaven because God's unchangeable. He's immutable is the word. Look at verses 90 and 91. Notice what David said. He said, God, your faithfulness endures to all generations, to every generation. You establish the earth and it abides. David goes on to say, they continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Now here's what David's saying. God, your steadfastness, your immutableness, your unchangingness, if you will, is demonstrated to humanity every day. And what David's saying is it's demonstrated in the constancy, the permanence of the way creation works, of the actual way it operates consistently, the way God created it to operate. The earth, for instance, spins on its axis at exactly the right speed, at exactly the right tilt, exactly the right distance from the sun. And the earth spins as it rotates around the sun. Nothing, there's nothing visible to hold the earth in its spot, okay? God appointed the earth to spin at the rate it spins, to stay in the orbit that it stays in. And God put the moon in the orbit around the earth. It controls the tides and has a great impact on the oceans. God created all that, and he set it in motion. The tides rise and fall as God designed, without fail. They do it consistently every day, twice a day. The earth spins every day. Think about beyond the earth. The stars are so many that we can't number them, and yet the Bible says God named them. And it speaks of God, and he made the stars also, as if, oh yeah, God made all the stars, and he put them out there, and he named them. The stars stay where God put them. They're fixed in the heavens. They don't move. When we do this thing called celestial navigation, you can actually measure where you are through math, through geometry, where you are on the face of the earth through measuring stars. Why? Because they're fixed. And we know in any particular part of the season, in any day, where the stars are in the sky. And because we know they're fixed, we can figure out where we are. You know, the two sides, you can figure out the third side of a triangle. The point is this. David's saying that the constancy of God, the unchangeableness of God, is demonstrated in creation, that we see God's forever nature for us to look at. Now, Paul had something really important to say about that because of man's rebellion. I want to read you these verses, and I know you're familiar with them, but they really are germane to what David's saying here concerning the foreverness of God and his constancy and the fact that it's demonstrated to every generation in creation. Every generation sees the constant obedience of nature to God's commands. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 1:19-23. He said, because of what may be known of God is manifest for them, for God has shown it to them. God has revealed himself to the heart of man and revealed in creation that he exists. Listen to what Paul said. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Paul said, listen, from creation, man can look around and see that there's a God. From creation, God has revealed himself in the things that are made in his power and his glory. Now listen to this. Because although they knew God, mankind knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. You know what Paul said there? He's mirroring what David said. David said, God, your word established forever because you're forever. And God, you have revealed your foreverness to humanity and creation. You've revealed who you are by the constancy of nature and all that goes on. Paul took that same idea and he said, here's man's problem. All of nature is a servant of God, David said. Man's the only creature created in the image of God with a will, the ability to reject God. And so Paul said man's greatest sin is that though he knows God, and though that we as a human race know God exists, by looking at nature we can see it, we choose to reject it. And in choosing to reject it, we become fools. And our wisdom is turned to foolishness. And Paul goes on to say that we've changed the glory of the incorruptible God into likenesses like man and like the things created, meaning we worship ourselves or worship idols or worship the things in the world. So listen, when we talk about forever, David said God's word's established forever in heaven because it's connected to the nature of God of forever. David and Paul said God's immutable nature is seen in the constancy of creation. It's seen in the constancy of how things operate in the world. And so the encouragement is simply this today. If you don't know this God who created all these things, you can know him by faith. You can ask him to forgive your sin. And I challenge people to do this. You say, well, I'm just not sure God's there, and I'm not sure. Listen, if you'll pray and ask God to reveal himself to you, he already has in creation. But if you ask God to reveal himself to you in a personal way, he'll do it through his word. He'll do it through the testimony of the gospel. And God will show you that he's real. But you got to want to know him and not reject him. So it really is about our heart. Do we want to know God or do we not want to know God? David said God is forever and his word is established forever. Now, David goes on to say in verse 92 that he was in some kind of distress. We don't know what kind of distress, but notice what he says in verse 92 of Psalm 119. He said, unless your law had been my delight, I would have then have perished in my affliction. He said, basically, I was in this distress and I would have perished. Now, we don't know about his distress. Let me just give you a couple possibilities. Number one, he could have been in some physical danger. We know when he ran from Saul and even his son Absalom, he had physical danger when he fought Goliath and the bears and the lions, watch the sheep. David could be saying, God, when I was in distress in any of these myriad of situations, you delivered me. God, you took care of me. He could be saying here that he was in emotional distress, that he came to the point where he felt like giving up. Now listen, that happens to Christians a lot. Man, we become overwhelmed. Life seems to just come at us, one problem then builds on another problem, and then that problem causes another problem. And sometimes we really feel overwhelmed. We really feel like, God, there's no answer to this. David was expressing here that maybe he was so emotionally distressed that he felt like he was going to perish. He felt like, I can't go on. I can't do another thing. But listen, David said, God, your word was the thing that brought me through. Your promises, your word, that thing which is fixed forever in heaven because of your character. He said, that's the thing that I hung on to. Now, what does that mean for us today? Listen, the best way, listen to me very carefully, the best way to be able to employ God's word in a time of distress is to be prepared ahead of time, meaning hide God's word in our heart. Have it in our heart, have it in our mind so that when these times of distress come, the Holy Spirit can bring that right to our mind, bring the truth of God's word right to our heart so that we're not overwhelmed and we're not overcome. It is the Christian who forsakes the study of God's word, who forsakes the reading of God's word, who forsakes the memorizing of it and the remembering of it that when the distresses of life come, their mind doesn't go immediately to God's promises. It goes to, oh my goodness, how bad is this problem? And we become even more overwhelmed. You see, when we run into distress in life and we have God's word hidden in our heart, it is that thing where we can find comfort, which is exactly what David was saying here. Now, in verse 93, David said he's thankful, he's grateful, he has gratitude to God for what he's done. Look at verse 93. He said, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I'll never forget your precepts, God, because it is by your word that you've given me life. Oh, man, that's a great statement. First of all, for those who are saved, God's word is that thing which shows us the path. It's a light to our path and a lamp to our feet, David said. He would say later, verse 105, I think. It's like a flashlight in the dark. Man, when we know God's word, listen, when we know God's word and we apply it to our hearts and minds and we walk through the darkness of this world and we're faced with decisions every day, they might be moral decisions, they might be ethical decisions, it might be decisions of integrity. When we're faced with those decisions or temptations or distress, man, we turn on the flashlight. We turn on the light of God's word and it shines the way and it shows us the right path. And then we simply need to follow the light. We simply need to follow what God tells us to do. So David said, I'll never forget your precepts because it's by them that I have life. It's by them that I survive these things. It's by your word that I'm not overwhelmed. And not only does God's word show us the way, but it brings us life, literally. Remember, let me tie it up this way. Listen, everything in this life is temporary. Everything in this life is finite. It has an expiration date on it. God is forever. God's word is forever. So watch. When I read God's word, or when David said, I'll not forget your precepts, I'll not forget, God, that thing which is forever. The life beyond this one. The eternity that we face out there when this life is over. David said, God, you bring me real life. Listen, life in this world is physical animation. Life in this world will end, all die. When God brings us life, when we come to Jesus Christ, confessing our sin and asking for his forgiveness, God forgives our sin, removes us from being under the penalty of sin, which is death, and gives us a new life, creates in us a new heart, makes us a new creation in Jesus Christ. Here's how I would conclude this. If you really want to be able to speak of forever, if you really want to be able to speak of that which lasts forever, you have to speak in terms of God. If you want to talk about what is forever, you have to speak in terms of God's word and his promises, because God's promises are forever. If you want to talk about that which is forever, you have to have a personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Because anybody outside of Jesus has no forever at all. You have only eternal judgment. For all those who are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life given to you by God himself. So here's what I would ask you this afternoon. Do you know that you have forever? Do you know that you have a forever relationship with God? You can right now. You can confess your sin and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As I pray right now, would you pray to receive Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, thank you that your word is forever. Thank you that you are forever. Thank you that you are immutable, that you never change. God, there may be somebody watching this video, and Lord, they know that they don't have forever. They know that, God, life is finite, and Lord, maybe they're afraid of dying. But Jesus, you already died on the cross. You already faced death for us. You paid the penalty of sin. You conquered death in the grave. You rose on the third day. God, for that man or woman who might be right now under the hearing of your word through this video, Lord, may they bow right now in this moment and say, oh God, I don't understand a lot, but I want forever, God. I'm sorry for my sin. Jesus, I put my faith in you. Save me right now. In your name we pray. Amen.